Hello, 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 everyone. This is Off the Hour Friday. You are listening to 90.3 FM CKUT, CKUT.ca. Yeah, we have a very exciting show. My name is Sequoia.
I'm Wendy.
I'm Titwan.
And so we have a little bit of a hodgepodge of things to talk about today. So we'll first be chatting with Rachel Kalmanovich from Bar Milton Park Co-op. We are live in the studio right now, so Rachel is here with us. And then we'll have, you know, some musical breaks throughout. And then we also have an interview that Wendy and I did with Shani Laskin, who is a news editor at the Tribune, one of the campus papers. And we're just kind of talking about some of the big stories this month and, you know, her experience as a student journalist and whatnot. So, yeah, I guess we're going to start chatting about the wonderful, the amazing, the astonishing Rachel and Bar Milton Park Co-op. Hello, by the way.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Could you introduce yourself and what you do at BMP?
Yeah, absolutely. So hi, listeners. My name is Rachel. I have been at Bar Milton Park for almost a year at this point, but the bar itself only opened this August. My general role is I do a bit of administrative stuff. I also bartend. I help raise money for the bar, which is part of the reason that I'm here today to tell you guys about it.
Yeah. Nice. What's your favorite drink?
My favorite
by the
drink?
Way.
Oh my god.
Or like, what's your favorite one to make? Actually.
Okay. I still want to answer your first question.
Okay.
But I'll come back to
I want
to
hear both.
One. Also, my favorite drink that we have at the bar is the New England IPA. It is from Quatre Origines. It's locally brewed. It's called the Montreal State of Mind, and I say this to every customer that comes in, whether they want my opinion or not. It is the best beer I've had. I'm a beer guy. It is the best beer I've had in my entire life.
Okay.
Yes. Because it's got all of the things that are good about an IPA, which is that it's very velvety when you're drinking it. It's got some fruity notes, but it's not as bitter as a lot of IPAs are. So IPA lovers love it. IPA haters
love
can
it.
Tolerate it. I mean, sometimes people have been surprised by how much they liked it.
Wow.
And my favorite drink to make is we have one of our cocktails, rotating cocktail specials, is the Corpse Reviver number 2.
Wow.
Which is
such unique names,
name.
By the way.
it's a funky cocktail. It comes out a light green, a little bit of a creepy spooky
okay,
color.
Yes.
So we ran it through basically all of October. But that drink, it's a gin-based drink, but it's got some absinthe and a little bit of chartreuse. So a lot
wow.
of unique and competing flavors, and that one's always a hit.
Oh my
I'm
God.
Sold.
I
that was
try.
That was so convincing. Like I'm like a beer hater even, and I'm like,
oh man,
I feel like I
you
need to
come
down.
To my bar. You will try the New England IPA.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I will be purchasing those drinks next time I go.
Yes.
But for listeners who aren't familiar, what is Bar Milton Park, and how does it differ from other bars in the Milton Park neighborhood?
Okay, so Bar Milton Park is just opened, like I said, this summer in the space where Bar de Ben used to be, if any of the listeners are familiar with that. What makes Bar Milton Park particularly special and isn't something that, I mean, personally I've seen a lot of, is that it's a cooperative bar. And basically what that means is it's run and administered and owned entirely by the workers. We don't have an owner. We don't have any managers. We run the bar by committee. There's a huge number of committees. We have operations, finance, HR, that each meet at either weekly or biweekly to go over what our policies should be, what they should look like, how we can react to things that are happening. And we focus really hard on making sure that all of our decisions are made by consensus and making sure that everybody who you know, is impacted by the policies of the bar, which isn't just workers, it's also customers, to have at least a little bit of a say in how we operate.
Wow, that's interesting. And then, I mean, so Bar de Pain was in the space before. Mm-hmm. Was that also a co-op? Or, like, is there any connection? Or did you guys, it's just kind of like, that was just the bar that was there before?
So Bar de Pain was absolutely not a co-op.
Okay.
It was run by a man who I have some choice words about, will not be sharing them on the air. But it's actually not the fact that the bar that was there previous that makes our project possible, but the history of the Milton Park community in general.
Yeah.
If you want me to go into that.
That's actually my next question for you. So, yeah, I read in one of your releases that, like, you know, you described the Milton Park neighborhood. And by the way, for listeners, this bar is located at the end of Park, right? Park and Pine?
I would not call that the end of Park.
Okay, sorry. I mean, no, not the end of Park. I was thinking...
But, like, the top corner of Milton Park.
Yeah. Where it ends at Pine. That was not well worded at all. In my mind, the beginning of Jean Mons is, like, the end of Park. For some reason. But anyway, it's green. Yeah, anyway, the Milton Park neighborhood, as you guys say in one of your releases, has a radical legacy that the BMP plans to create intergenerational connections between the elders who kind of like built up the neighborhood as a hub of grassroots organizing and the youth of today. Tell us about like the location. What is the history? Why is this location like significant to you or this neighborhood?
So it's actually very, very cool. It is, I think, one of my favorite tidbits of Montreal history that really surprisingly a lot of McGill students don't know about, even though for the most part, McGill students live and spend a lot of time in this area. But basically, way back in the 60s, there was a development company that wanted to tear down all of the beautiful historic buildings that you see and that many students live in Milton Park. And builds a large condo complex. And you see that in part they did succeed. Unfortunately, the large four La Cité buildings that are up in the area was what the entire neighborhood was supposed to look like under their plan.
Wow.
Fortunately, the people that lived here, the good citizens of Milton Park, had other plans. So they started organizing sit-ins. They started... going on rent strike and really, really doing everything that they could to fight it. And for the most part, they won. Like, that's why we still have Milton Park. That's why we still have all these beautiful buildings just up and down these streets. And one of the lasting legacies of this activism is a community land trust, which is how a lot of the housing that is in the Milton Park community and neighborhood and area are housing co-ops. A lot of the buildings are owned by the people that pay rent to the community land trust and live there. lost my train of thought.
No.
The community land trust, as a result of all the activism, one of the policies is that community land trust gets first dibs on any property that goes up for sale in the Milton Park area.
Wow.
And they get it at... if I'm remembering correctly, reduced or particularly more fair pricing. So Bar de Pain went out of business in either 2019 or 2020, and Community Land Trust got first dibs. And there had already been talk in the neighborhood. Some of the organizers and activists had been wanting to open a cooperative bar, cafe, or space like that. So the Community Land Trust decided to make the purchase. They bought... the building that used to have Bar de Pain, and now they're renting it to us, also at incredibly reduced, really fair rent prices. That means that, you know, a group of 20, 30-somethings can afford to own a bar in that space.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
I did have a few other questions just about this. So I'm so sorry if I missed this at the start, but did you, like, tell us when this activism, like, started? Like, was this...
Like you mean the housing stuff?
Yeah.
So that was around the 60s.
The 60s, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then is it right that it was like the Citizens Committee or something like that? Like the organized, did it kind of like, did this community effort turn into like an organization?
Yes, exactly.
It did. Okay.
So the CCMP, the Citizens Committee of Milton Park, which does a lot of local activism. They run the food bank out of... the Lutheran Church on Jean Mons every single week. They're another one of the great residual effects of the activism of the 60s. And they've stuck around and continue to do great work. And they help us out at the bar a lot as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask if, like, any of the people who are, like, involved are still, like, around or are still, like, chatting with you at the bar? Like, what is...
So, I'm not as familiar with the governance of CCMP because I'm not as much a part of that organization, but I do know that there are a few big names from the old days that are still involved in some ways. But we also have a lot of bar regulars are people that live in the co-ops that were a part of this activism back in the day.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, wow. I mean, that's so great to learn about that because I had a little introduction, but I didn't know all the facts. So to continue on the discussion of, like, how the private sector and everything, so we watched a video about, like, how BMP aims to break the private food sector monopoly. Could you tell us more about that? Like, how does it work at the bar?
Yeah, so right now we do have a food permit, but we're not doing much food production, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later in the interview. But one of the biggest plans, one of our founding principles, is the idea of something called a solidarity meal program, which we call the SMP for short. And what that's going to look like is in partnership, actually, with the CCMP. We plan on expanding their food bank operations and being able to serve warm, prepared, fresh meals directly out of the bar for... we haven't decided what the pricing structure for that is going to look like yet. But in our dream world, it's either very, very reduced or ideally pay what you can. That way people that historically don't have access to get to sit down at a restaurant and enjoy warm food with their friends can do that with dignity. And, you know, our plan is that it's going to be really good food as well.
That's amazing. Could you highlight maybe what's the challenge in that specific neighborhood about that? Like how the... like the supermarket and how it's only big monopolies on enterprises.
Yeah, well, I feel like most of your listeners have been around Milton Park and can see that it's not super great in terms of being able to find cheap and accessible food. So that's definitely one of the things that we're trying to fight.
So what is the idea? Like, would it be more of a restaurant kind of, like, kind of sit down, like there's like a nice table and, like, you know, drinks and things? Or is it kind of like what would it feel like? Would it kind of be like, would there be like a lot of different like a big like buffet, or like what's the vibe?
I think it depends on the day that you come in, so, or what time of day you're coming in as well. I think at night we want to continue functioning mostly as a bar, continue doing the kinds of events that we've been doing over the last couple of months. But during the day, be able to have table service. Most of the kinks aren't yet worked out. We still have a few more months in between us and the realization of this dream. And if any of your listeners are interested in being a part of this project or helping us contribute to making and contributing to making these decisions, feel free to swing by the bar and tell us that you're interested, because we're always looking for more hands.
What time do you guys open, by the way? Like, is it kind of like a lunch thing? Like, do you do morning stuff? Or
we do have coffee. About a month or two ago, we opened with coffee.
Oh, nice.
Yes. And the bar is pretty quiet many weekdays for people that are interested in swinging by and studying and having a cup of coffee, hot chocolate or tea, or even a study beer, because we serve beer at any point when we're open. But
do people do that a lot?
Oh yeah.
Laptop open.
Laptop
beer.
Open.
Time of beer. Exactly. Like what time? Like 2, 3, one?
Come in at noon for
noon?
The beer.
Yeah. I love that. But you're like a mocha. Oh, a beer. Okay. Yeah. No worries. I got you.
But yeah, the customer's always right.
Like, exactly.
We're open Wednesdays through Saturdays and every day except Friday, we open at noon, and on Fridays we open at 9 a.m.
Oh, nice. Wow. Okay. Early start. So tell us about your crowdfunding campaign. Like, what do you hope to do with the money? How much do you hope to raise? What are your dreams here?
Oh, man. The dreams are so big.
So big.
Currently, our crowdfunding goal is set at $10,000. We would be happy with more, obviously. But the biggest things that money is going to be going towards is this huge construction project that we're planning on starting in the new year. We already fortunately have a lot of investment from the city and various granting organizations to help us with this construction, but the crowdfunding is to help get us right over the edge to where we need to be to make sure that we can pay it all off. And that's sort of broken up into two parts. The first of this is kitchen renovations. So the reason that even though we have our food permit and we have people with MAPAC food manager certifications working, the reason that we can't serve food is because Bar de Pen left their kitchen in such a disgusting state.
Oh, no, really?
It is horrible. We had to throw out a fridge full of food. I'm not going to get too much more into it, but we want to make sure that if we're serving food, especially if we're serving food to people in the community that can't really afford to get it in a few other places, we want it to be healthy and we want it to be safe. So we want to redo the entire kitchen. It's also really small right now. It's about it's the size of a small hallway. If any of you have been in a plateau home, can imagine the size of our kitchen. But we are planning on making it larger because when the Solidarity Meal Program begins, we hope that we have volunteers, the food bank's volunteers, to come help staff it to help keep our prices for the SMP down. We want to make sure that there's room for people to move around without bumping into each other, without potentially causing problems and it being unsafe. And then the second part of the construction renovations that we're doing is in our bathrooms. We currently have two bathrooms. Obviously, they're both gendered bathrooms, and neither of them are even remotely wheelchair accessible.
Oh,
like,
no. Yeah.
The hallway to get into the bathroom is curved, so you would have to be able... It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit the turn radius that is necessary for wheelchair users to use, and then once you get into the bathrooms, all of the stalls are small as well. And functionally, we found that that excludes wheelchair users from our space. It also functionally excludes genderqueer people from our space because, you know, you come to a bar, you're consuming liquids.
Yeah.
What are you going to need to do? Use the bathroom.
You break the seal, and that's a big issue.
So we want to make sure that, you know, every single person in our community, regardless of any factors of identity, any factors of ability, are able to enjoy nights at or days at our bar, at our cafe, you know, equally.
I'm so excited to see that, like, those changes like, happen. Oh, my God. Last time I checked, you guys reached around, like, $4,000. So that's amazing.
Yeah, we're a little over 4,000.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Are there any, like, events or campaigns going on for the crowdfunding? Or how can people best support this campaign?
So the best way to support the campaign is to go to contribute.bmp.coop. Again, contribute.bmp.coop. And donate any amount of money. Any amount really, really helps. We have four tiers for donation, the first starting at $10. But if you have $5, we would be so happy, so grateful to accept that generous donation. We did have very recently a fundraising event that was a drag show.
Oh, nice.
That was so much fun.
Oh, amazing.
Last Saturday, I want to say, November 25th. And we made so much money that night as well, and it was so fun, and the kings and queens that were there absolutely killed it, put on an event.
Yes.
And we do have another fundraising event coming up. We're hoping to do a small solidarity dinner with anyone that's donated. Is your donation to the Zephy at contribute.bmp.coop is your ticket to the dinner. And it's like we all get together with the community. The community members that have been here for years are most likely going to be there and just get together, get to know each other, and force stronger connections.
I love it when, like, campaign events, like, fundraiser events don't feel like fundraiser events. Like, I mean, this sounds, like, both, like, somewhat fun.
Thank you.
Yeah. And, like, well, I mean, how long is this campaign going to go on for, do you think?
It's going until mid-December.
Okay, cool. And then when would the construction start on this stuff?
As soon as possible.
Okay.
Yeah, we've chosen the company that we're going to be working with, and we've already had a few meetings. The final design of the, you know, final renovations is almost finished. And the plan is to hopefully have everything wrapped up by the end of spring.
Amazing. And, like, will you guys be closed
during that time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
And then I guess I just wanted to ask, so, like, I feel like we should have asked this, like, earlier on in the interview, but I want to ask you now, like, what happens? Like, because I feel like I see a lot of, like, there's, like, the queer karaoke nights, mm-hmm. there's, like, I don't know, like, just, I see, like, so many events mm-hmm. happening and, like, little workshops. Like, what does the average week look like?
So
what
busy.
What kind of things go on there? Like, I kind of, like, this is, yeah, like, if you're listening, I guess, what would you want to kind of, like, pitch to people? Not pitch, but just like what can people do there?
Oh, so many things. We try to have something for everyone. Yeah. To have an exact clear view of what our events are any given week, it's best to follow us on Instagram at co-op BMP, because we're always posting about different events and everything that we're doing. But generally, some of the stuff that we have weekly is every Thursday we have our weekly queer karaoke. Mm. And every Monday we have our weekly film screening, and that has ranged from anything from, we've had some like silly campy comedies from the 90s, Joe's Apartment, if you've seen it, about a man who moves into a new apartment in New York and there's like sentient cockroaches that can speak that live there.
Oh, no
and
way.
His relationship with them. We've also shown more serious films. We watched Get Out, close to Halloween.
Nice.
And, lately we've used that the platform that we built with the Monday Night Movies to host a few short film creators. So
excellent.
Last Monday we had a really, 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 really cool group of creators that have had their films featured at multiple international film festivals that showed their films at our bar, which was so, so cool. One of my favorite events that I've attended. And stuff like that. But generally, it's best to keep an eye on the Instagram to know what we're up to, because there's usually something happening.
Awesome.
I love hearing about all that. I'm so passionate about, you know, walkable neighborhoods and community stuff. And that's so cool.
Yes,
yeah.
Come hang out with me at the bar.
Exactly.
We will. I think we all will.
So I guess my last question, yeah. What's your time frame like? So you said you were going to start fixing everything soon. And when do you hope to reopen?
Hopefully we're going to reopen by the end of spring.
Okay. So pretty, so it's going to be a couple of months and then...
A couple of months and then everything's going to be ready.
All right. So.
And is there anything else that you wanted to say while you're here?
Oh, probably, but I forgot it all. Yeah, if you're interested in learning more about the bar, the best things to do are either to visit the crowdfunding landing page, which is contribute.bmp.coop, follow our Instagram to learn about what events we're doing, or just stop by. We're open Wednesday through Saturday every single week, and generally Mondays as well for movies, and some other days of the week, depending on what we're up to. But stop by. Anyone who works behind the bar is incredibly passionate about this project, because we've all put so much blood, sweat, and tears into all of it.
It sounds like it shows.
We would love to talk to you about it.
Yeah. No, it really shows. But yeah. Rachel, thank you so much
for coming out here with us today.
This was a great conversation. I learned so much. I'm convinced. Like, I'm so excited.
I have some drink options.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so we thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to have a music break now.
Yes.
Stay tuned.
This is The Grays by Kevin Abstract, which has been probably my favorite album this year. I tried to tell them, but they ain't wanna listen to me. What they thought it was, it ain't made out to be. People always told me. Don't be the rest of the
little too quiet. Silence is an unfamiliar sound. When quiet gets a little too loud, I miss music, I crave the crowd. Don't know where, but I'll be going out. I can't take it anymore. Wasted time I can't afford. Call me, I'll be out the door. We'll repeat the night.
We are back. You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. This is Off the Hour, hosted by the News Collective crew.
I am T2On. I'm Sequoia.
And I'm Wendy.
Yeah, and the wonderful music bop that you just heard is Night Before by Cherry Ferrari.
That was such a good song.
Yeah, I added it to my playlist the other day, and I was like, you know, it's a bit, it's way more pop than what I usually want. But in this season, exam, winter, yeah. I'm like, that's what I want. That's what I need. I need that good energy. It filled a void in me, you know.
Actually, yeah, because it's, I feel like people have such different, I don't know, needs when it comes to music. Like, because I totally agree. I love that. I love like something that kind of is bouncy and like exciting and dancey and gets me going. And then I don't know, sometimes, but also as it gets colder, it is nice to just like have a little Phoebe Bridgers moment or something. I'm just like wind down.
Sad songs all the time.
I don't know if I'm there yet though. I feel like I'm still in the upbeat at the moment. I'm not quite in the upset.
Yeah,
which is good.
This is good. Yeah.
How do you guys feel about Christmas music? What's your opinion?
Yeah, I don't partake. But really? I'm forced into it, you know?
Because like, we all
it's
are.
Inescapable. You go to the store, you go anywhere during this season, and all you hear is, well, Mariah Carey and
oh, yeah.
all the good Christmas bop. And, you know, they feel good, but I feel like I hear enough of it. I mean, enough of it yeah. is forced onto me that I don't feel like I need to listen to it. Even though yeah. I was looking at new playlist and I saw like Jazzy Christmas.
Oh.
And I'm like, yeah. I might give this one a try.
Yeah, that one is like passable. But...
Passable.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I feel like when I was younger, Christmas used to be very like magical and... feel very like cozy
yeah.
and yeah just like whimsical to me, but I'm trying to like Christmas now I'm trying to enjoy Christmas in a way that doesn't like feed on that, because I don't feel that anymore, and I'm like but I can still enjoy it, you yeah. know, so that's my goal,
guys. Spotify Wrapped came out this week. Not everyone is on Spotify, but even if you're not on Spotify, you know.
Guilty.
Yeah. And like, which platform are you on?
I use Deezer, but mm-hmm. you know, they're very similar, and they also have a end
oh.
of year.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Participate.
Exactly. You know, so I'm still included. Don't you worry,
of
guys.
Of course.
I relate.
So I want to know what your Wrapped looked like. But I also want to hear your thoughts on, like, because I feel like around this time, everybody gets so divisive about, like, whether to share it or not and, like, what it means. Like, everyone, you know, like, I've seen those memes that are like, I am observing your Spotify Wrapped and making, drawing conclusions based on what you have shared. And this is, and I'm creating narratives.
Yeah,
and, like, definitely. I don't know, there's so much, like, insecurity about it, but there's also a lot of... I don't know. Excitement. What do you guys think?
I don't know. Mine was very, I mean, you know, it's like pure you know, stats. So, of course, it represents what I listen to, and I'm proud of what I listen to.
Oh, that's?
Yeah.
That's impressive, actually.
I'm very pleased with my top artists.
Okay, let's hear them.
Let's, first of all, Ray.
Oh, queen.
You know, but I've been to her concert, so
oh
I was
gosh.
Also getting in the mood
true
and
fan.
Learning the lyrics and everything, so yeah, that
absolutely.
Makes sense.
I liked her album, like her new album.
Debut album.
Oh, is it her? Okay, I didn't realize it was for... It was great. I loved it. I listened to it so
no,
much.
No, greatest concert. Yeah. I feel like I've said that on CKUT so many times already.
And we'll say it again.
And I will say it again. I will not stop. Yeah, second we have Nyx Northwest.
Oh,
do you know
like
him?
A UK?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my
I
God.
Listened to a little
crazy.
Bit of
it. And then we got Georgia Smith.
Oh, so good.
I'm such a fan. I think I was, yeah, she was my, I was in her top fans. And I'm like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Bacar and number four.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And fifth, Wesley Joseph.
Oh,
and
I
that
know.
Surprised me that he's on only fifth.
What
I feel
kind
like
of music does he do?
It's like R&B pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I okay.
There's like one song. If you've been listening to me, no, but like
keeping up with you
exactly. Like I put it like a couple of times here, and like it's called Ultramarine. We'll play it after. We'll
yeah,
do a little music
we
break.
Will
it's,
yeah, definitely.
And I love it. It's so good.
Cool.
Yeah.
So
all right.
Fun.
Wendy, what was yours
oh
like?
Oh my God. So I'm like so basic, but I'm not even that embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed by it.
No. Own it.
My top artist was Mitski.
That's not basic. That's real.
Real. And I think I don't have, it was, I think it was like Troy Sivan.
Oh yeah.
And who else? Lana Del Rey.
Classic.
And some other people that I forgot. Yeah. But I think the Spotify Wrapped is both fun, but also like a bit of like a public performance thing.
Oh, totally.
But I think as long as you have fun with it and keep it fun and not like judge people, it's fine.
Exactly. Well, because I feel like the people who like sharing their Spotify Wrapped the most are either people who have like an insane number of minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you need to go outside and touch grass. No, I'm kidding. But like that, or like
like all their top artists are like really obscure. Yeah. Cause like honestly, it makes sense that our top artists are pop artists most of the time because they're so like pop is meant to be so easily listenable. Mm-hmm. And then well, the other reason I think that there's a heightened awareness of like the gendered element of it too, where like there's a lot of awareness of like people who have no women in their top so five, right. Or people who have only women.
Usually me, like,
and like I think like people who have only women are like I did that. But yeah, my top artist was Kevin Abstract. I played the song from his. That album is just, it totally just grew on me so much. And then the other one I want to shout out is Sophia Cortesis. I also played Sophia Cortesis on earlier on another show, but
she was here last. We played her.
Her album is just amazing. And Doja Cat. I love Doja Cat. I really liked her new album. Actually, I thought it was so good. Anyways,
we should play some Doja Cat.
We should. Wet Vagina, anyone? That's such a good song. Anyways.
All right, Sequoia. Do you want to introduce our next segment?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, so right before this, Wendy and I did an interview with Shani Laskin. She is an amazing news editor at the Tribune, and also, I think, previously a news writer, staff writer, I think? I'm not sure. Anyways, she's super involved in the news section at the Tribune, which is one of the campus papers, and we just had, like, a quick chat with her, and you'll hear that now.
Woo!
We love the Tribune.
Yeah.
We're here with Shani Laskin. Can you introduce yourself and your role at the Tribune?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me. I'm Shani. I'm in my third year at McGill, and I'm a news editor at the Tribune.
Yeah, so we just wanted to chat with you about some of the big stories this month, and also just ask you about your process. So the first thing we'll ask you is about the Mohawk Mothers. So on November 20th, the Mohawk Mothers won in court. They had an expert archaeological panel overseeing the new Vic project reinstated after McGill originally disbanded it back in August. So could you tell us a bit about what this court victory means for the Mohawk Mothers?
Yeah, I think this was a pretty big win for the Mohawk Mothers. They've been in court with McGill for over a year now. And the archaeological panel was disbanded earlier this semester, and they went back against that because they kind of see this process of mapping as like a ongoing process, and mapping is like what the archaeological panel is, as far as I know, in charge of. And it kind of sees like what is on the land and is able to detect like any kinds of quote unquote anomalies. Mm-hmm. So whereas the Mohawk Mothers see this as like an ongoing process that should keep going throughout, however long, really, McGill seems to not agree, and they disbanded it. They disbanded the archaeological panel pretty early on. So I think this was a pretty big win for the Mohawk Mothers. I will say I haven't been the one covering the Mohawk Mothers case. It's been mostly the work of my co-editor, Jazz. So she would be able to speak more to questions about the Mohawk Mothers. But yeah.
Yeah, so I know that you weren't present at today's court date, but there was a court date today. Do you have anything to add about, you know, maybe some of any of the archives or records or any, like, updates, I guess, that came out of today's case?
So since I wasn't at the court date today, I don't have anything to add, but we will have an issue or a piece out in our issue coming out on Tuesday that will be about today's court date. We did have someone there today.
So the Tribune has also been covering protests against the genocide in Palestine, in Montreal, and even in Ottawa. Why is it important for you guys to cover Palestine protests occurring beyond campus grounds?
I think it kind of is a testament to the mobilization efforts that we've been seeing over the past month, or nearly 2 months, really. The work of SPHR and other student groups has been ongoing, and they have not really lost speed, I guess. I don't think that's the right expression. And so I think, like, in the past 2 months, we've seen very kind of strong mobilization efforts from SPHR, but also from a lot of, like, allied groups. We've seen the reforming of Independent Jewish Voices McGill. We saw, like, tens of student associations come out in support of either Palestine or SPHR or the policy against genocide in Palestine. And I think it's a time of very, I guess, high energy, high mobilization. And I think the fact that we had multiple or dozens of McGill students go to Ottawa and join the national protest was a big deal. I think we're very lucky that we could go and cover that. I think it's always difficult for us to cover things that are not right here, given our, like, limited resources as a student paper. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, it is just, like, a testament to the mobilization efforts that we've been seeing.
Yeah, so actually, it's a great segue, talking about, like, the Palestine or the policy against genocide, which was something that was passed recently in the most recent SMU referendum. And so yesterday there was a rally. There was, like, a student rally in front of Arts, and then in support of the policy and in support of Palestine. And then the crowd moved into the SMU building, where there was a board of governors, board of directors meeting, which is a, the SMU execs. Yeah, and so there was, like, a confrontation. So, I mean, they started out on Zoom, started asking questions on Zoom, and then eventually we moved into the room where it was actually happening, and then there was a big confrontation. And there was a lot of confusion. I thought there was a lot of confusion amongst the crowd of people saying, okay, like, what, you know, we're talking about, like, this legal battle, but nobody really knows what it was about, and there was a lot of demands at the student union. What was the crowd demanding? What were the organizers, like, pushing? What did they want of the SMU execs? Did you help us, like, cut through the thicket of this a bit?
Yeah, you're right. There was a lot of confusion. I will say we'll have fully accurate and comprehensive information on Tuesday when we publish about this, but given that I was there, I think I can speak to it a bit. As far as I understand, the issue that some students and student groups had with SMU is that they accepted the injunction. This injunction was filed against the policy against the genocide in Palestine, which passed in the referendum a couple weeks ago. This question in the referendum was, it was passed with something like 78% of non-abstaining voters supporting it. And a anonymous student backed by this organization called B'nai B'rith, filed an injunction against the ratification of the policy. So from what I understand, some people, including representatives from law students for Palestine at McGill, are alleging that, or are claiming that SMU could have rejected this injunction, but they didn't. They accepted the injunction and will be going to court later this school year. So I think that's what most of the confusion was over. According to President Ashkir of SMU, SMU accepted the injunction because they had legal representation that was not in alignment with, I suppose, the union's values. Since then, they have switched to new legal representation as of 2 days ago, according to their VP External, Liam Gaither. So I think that's where the bulk of the confusion was lying, was why did SMU accept the injunction? But it seems that SMU, in their communication, is in support of the policy and is, you know, doing their best, according to the executives, to fight for it and to fight for ratification.
So just to reiterate, was the whole contention that SMU originally accepted the injunction with lawyers that they didn't necessarily feel aligned with their values, and then there was, like, the pushback was saying, why did you accept with those lawyers? And then SMU then said, we changed lawyers. Is that where we are now? Would you say that's accurate?
I would say that's accurate to my knowledge right now. But yeah, I'll reiterate that we'll have better information on Tuesday when we publish on this.
Great. Perfect.
Awesome. Thank you so much for like breaking that down for us. I know like, yeah, it was definitely a bit confusing. And finally, we're curious just about like you as a student journalist. What's it like being a student journalist right now, and what have you learned throughout your years in journalism? Emma Gill.
I feel like this is a question that I could just go on and on about. I'm really passionate about student journalism. I think it is really important and is often taken for granted and often kind of not taken seriously. At the end of the day, while we are students, we also like face the consequences of irresponsible reporting. And so I think like we take our work very seriously. I know I take my work very seriously. I think right now, being a student journalist, it's been at once exciting and also really stressful, I'll be honest. Like, I think pressure is really on. There's a lot going on campus and a lot that we need to report on. And, you know, we have pressure from ourselves because we want to be releasing accurate and, you know, clear content. But we also have pressure from community members who want, you know, to see whatever they want to see from us. So I think it's been interesting this past semester. It's definitely been intense, but I think like it's felt really important. I think there's a lot going on. There's always a lot going on at McGill and with SMU and with student groups that kind of our paper and other student papers at McGill are the only kind of papers that have the bandwidth to cover these issues. Like, for instance, the Montreal Gazette, their scope is so much larger. It's the entire, you know, island of Montreal. And so they're often going to overlook McGill stories, but that doesn't mean that McGill stories aren't important. And I think it's like really important for us to be on the ground, seeing where there are stories, seeing where there are issues that like, you know, need clarification. I think a lot of the times, even looking at the Mohawk Mothers stories, like students often don't know what's going on there. And all they see is like communication from McGill, which is, you know, I think our reporting kind of expands upon that and provides a lot more perspectives because we go in and we can, you know, interview the Mohawk mothers who are like involved in this case. We can interview people that they work with. We can interview the administration themselves. And yeah, I think like I've always thought that we provide a really important service. So I really like being a student journalist. I think it's great.
Yeah. I mean, I had a bunch of follow-up questions, but I feel like you answered like pretty much all of them through this. This is an amazing answer. I guess my last question for you would be, you know, where do you see yourself? Like, do you see yourself in journalism? Like, where, what do you like about the practice? What do you think, like, what inspires you, I guess, to keep doing this?
I totally do see myself in journalism. I want to go into it professionally. I think what I've really loved about journalism is that it, first off, it platforms voices. Like, I think my role is really to, like, get information and synthesize it and then, like, talk to people and, like, allow them to speak for themselves. And then I kind of just weave everything together. So I think, like, that's really important, and it's also really fulfilling. Like, it's so, it feels great to, like, talk to people and get to know people and hear their stories and also, like, allow them space to tell their stories. I remember one time a source, like, emailed me later being like, thank you so much for sharing my story. I was like, that's amazing. That's, like, what I'm here for. So I think it's a place where I really feel I can be useful. And I also think it's kind of, it's one step in, like, collective change, collective action. I think, like, access to information is such a fundamental part of that. And I'm happy to, like, be facilitating that.
Amazing.
Yeah, thank you so much. What an amazing answer. Yeah, you do really important work, so thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Shani.
And we are back live from the studio. This is CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and on CKUT.ca on the web. This is Off the Hour, presented by the News Collective crew. Sequoia.
Hello.
Yes. Wendy.
Hello.
And I am Titoan. So today we've talked about the Bar Melton Co-op with Rachel. It was a very interesting interview, and we are so excited to see what's going to happen with the bar and with the co-op. And yeah, they have a lot of great projects happening and coming up, so we invite you to go follow them on Instagram. I think that's where they are the most active to post about their events. And what you've just heard was a little interview. Sequoia, Wendy, do you want to wrap it up a little?
We spoke to Shani today, actually a bit earlier, about some of the important news occurring on campus and just her experience as a student journalist. So definitely look out for the Tribune's last issue that's coming out on Tuesday for some of the important updates that Shani was talking about. Thank you again, Shani, for taking the time to talk to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have that much to add. I mean, since we're wrapping up in just about a minute, I'll quickly mention that I just read an email from the admin saying that they're implementing like a hiring freeze. So like no more hiring for the rest of the year because of the tuition hike. So anyways, just pretty shocking email to get mid-evening.
Just for like faculty or everything?
I have no idea. But there's going to be some kind of freeze.
Yeah.
Anyways, so we are going to end off this episode with a song, Titoan, if you want to.
Yeah, we got one last song for you. It's Ultramarine by Wesley Joseph. And once again, you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
Left to right, and I am shooting on the B-roll. Running through the woods, the sweat is dripping off my earlobes, and the fox is getting closer. And the vultures, they can see you. If I make it to the ocean, then I hope I'm back at zero. Voices getting close to home, they picking at the keyhole. Lonesome in the motion, I'm a convoluted hero. What a super villain, stir the culture, moving how you feel. Hanging out the window, leaning, screaming how I feel. 23, I'm never looking back though. No more future, some will never skip a meal. At the family wedding, stepping in all black though. Shoulders moving, I'm just trying to catch a feel. And if you're trying to leave, then we can hit the back door. Your eyes is leading, you ain't even gotta say so. So if you're trying to go discreetly, we can move slow. I feel the rush just like the rhythm when it reloads. Different kinds of coalitions.
session. I was that boy down low, but girl, I ain't malicious. I'm as real as my intentions. If you question my obsession, they begin with first impressions. Cinematic in your entrance. I was blinking twice, tripping, cause I seen you in a different light. Show you side of living you believe was a fictitious life. And most of us got stuck in a mirage of what to live it like. And no man big enough for your arms, but you still touching sides, risking life. Long as you can find me and you feeling right. Living twice, hell up on the earth, but you a paradise. Shedding light till you fade away into the thick of night. Hypnotized, deeper than the rhyme, I'm left to memorize. Layers of your figure, that's on my mind. I stay up, way up for y'all, I'm tracing lines. Sketching out your eyes till the sun is through the blinds. No, we're out of sight, ain't always out of mind. Things slow down when you're gone. If it's a man's world,
bonsoir à tous et bienvenue sur Café, votre émission d'art et culture du vendredi. Ici Esther au microphone et je suis avec Dani cette semaine. Comment ça va?
Ça va bien, toi?
Oui, très bien. Chouette. Nous allons parler de plein d'activités culturelles.